It is a season of already, but not yet. It is the Advent season. It is a holy time of anticipation. We take time to prepare and celebrate the promises of hope, peace, joy, and love. We want to take this opportunity to make ready for God's gift of love, His Son Jesus. Sandra mentioned this morning. Boy, our Christmas prep list is probably overflowing. Presents to buy, presents to wrap, groceries to buy, food to prep, cleaning, decorating. We could probably add to this list, right? I don't know. Do some of the guys have a honey-do list before Christmas comes you have to work on? Are you visiting your friends? Are you calling your friends? If the Lord was sitting with us, like right next to us, we asked him, hey, what's on your list? He would remind us to think more about others. After a bit, we would recognize that we need to put Jesus first on our list and follow what he wants us to do. Put Jesus first. So our new list, what do you think our new list might look like? And just say it out loud. What do you think our new list might look like when we have Jesus first? Spend time in his word. Love it. Pray for those little people downstairs. We hear their voices. Pray for others. Think a little bit more of others. Remember to be a giver, not a taker.
And look for the opportunities to share.
Absolutely.
And not preach. Not believe what I mean, but to share.
Share kindness with others, not just family members. Jake has challenged himself with his friend to do that. Be more patient with others. Be more patient with yourself. Put a smile on your face and joy in your heart. Say please and thank you more often. And then check. Is Jesus at the top of your list? And then check it again at the end of the day. Is Jesus on the top of your list? I'll be reading from Isaiah 64, starting at verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known in your enemies, to your enemies, and cause the nations to quake before you. I think if one leader, oh my goodness, in these big world communities or world meetings, if one leader pushed for faithfulness, for love, there'd be a difference in our world. Verse 3, for when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to help, to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hands. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. The readiness is a desire for God, a heart cry for God in our circumstances. Not out there. The readiness is for today. Isaiah projects something of a miracle of incarnation, that is, that God is present with us, meeting a longing of our heart, our human heart. This request is for God to intervene on the ongoings of this earth. And Isaiah trusts that the Lord will act on his behalf as he waits on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, and we join in with the swearing with the people at work, or we watch shows that show violence, are we honoring God? When we gossip, when we decide to be grumpy, are we honoring God? From sun up to sundown, we need to be thinking, are my actions honoring the Lord? That's what he wants for us. Along with honoring the Lord, your heart will change and you will feel joy. The human heart yearns for hope, peace, joy, and love. When we believe in Jesus, we are giving the Lord permission to mold us as the hands of the potter creates his work of art. Each one of you is beautiful. Each one of you is the work of God. There is hope in believing and trusting the Lord. Christians need to pray and become more like Jesus in our thoughts and in our ways. Isaiah states that the Lord will answer the prayers of the ones who remember the Lord in his ways. I'm not in control. Jesus is in control. What would Jesus do? Isaiah shares of God's sovereign power over us by saying, Lord, we are like clay in your hands. Deal gently with us, Lord. Mold us, Lord, according to your mercy. We are his children, and he will never disown us. We may fall, he will pick us up. We are all sinners, and we are all his people. Know the peace that you may claim when you ask for God's mercy. Find joy in caring for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll be turning to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 24. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. I'm going to pause. Jesus is trusting in God. He is not saying, when is the day? When am I going? When will this happen? He is trusting God to announce it. And that is when it will occur. He's totally trusting God. Verse 33. For us, be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch.
Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. If you have sinned, be quick to ask for forgiveness. If you have hurt someone, be quick to go to them and say, I am sorry. Life with his love is so much better. We are to live life so that in his love, so that we will be prepared for when he comes back to save us. Jesus was teaching, and Mark was writing, about Jesus teaching to the disciples how to live. He shared promises, and the listeners longed for the reality of his return. Find hope in knowing that God is in control of the happenings of this world. I found peace in recognizing that. I was down when I was thinking about the innocent people passing away, being injured, having their family taken away. I was down thinking about those who are struggling. And I found hope in knowing that God is in control of the happenings of this world. Hope in the Lord will not disappoint anyone. The lesson is that God is always here for us. We need to stay awake, be alert, and attentive as we wait for Jesus to return. He has established a new nation, a new family. Jesus has entrusted his house to each of us on these holy grounds in this precious church, Wellspring Church. We've been entrusted with God's love. His family was reassured of his relationship with them. How's your relationship with Jesus? We can be assured that he has a never-ending love for each one of us. And we don't want to be surprised when the day or the hour of his return occurs. Be ready. God promises that all who believe will be taken from this earth before the calamity, the disasters begin. These are disasters worse than what's going on in the war zones. I can't even imagine that. We are to be responsible as we do his work in this world. And so think of all the craziness in preparing for the celebration of the birth of Jesus and stop. And I can give thanks that no one called me a crazy shopper this week. I got through the week without somebody calling me a crazy shopper. Thank you, Lord. Take a moment and stop. What would God's look like? I doubt he'd be rushing around to decorate, to put up lights, to bake, or to go shopping. On the top of his list, he's probably very thankful for his son, Jesus. And God is working on blessings and love. He's working on caring for others and providing for others. Jesus was born in a stable, and we thank Jeff and Sandra for creating this stable scene. Not very fancy. That's where our Lord was born. And the nighttime stars shining in the night were the only decorations in the sky. God wasn't concerned about any presents, as Jesus was the best present ever. And he gave him his son Jesus, as a gift to all of us. People of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ, keep alert, keep awake. The Lord is coming, and be ready. Let us pray. All-powerful God, please increase our strength of will for doing good, that Christ may find us eager and welcoming him when he returns. He is going to call us to his side in the kingdom of heaven. We will be where he lives, where he reigns. We will be with the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, and Jesus himself forever and ever. Amen.